Welcome to episode 21 of the Hypermanic Noise podcast. And who better to have on board to help me celebrate the 21st birthday than Lexi Fox from Steel Panther? Death to all but metal! Fuck yeah, it was really cool to talk to this dude. Unfortunately, I didn't get to talk to him for very long because I didn't have much time on the phone with him. So what I've done is I got together with friend of the show, Mick Gledhill. We sat down and talked about rock and roll. So you'll get Lexi Fox at the start. When that interview finishes, me and Mick Gledhill will chill, shoot the shit, talk about rock and roll, at least for a little bit. Then we got into all sorts of fucking weird shit. And the show will close out with one of my songs from my project Blood Red Skies called In the Name of Love. Very, very, very heavy song. And the most personal song I think I've ever written. So really excited to share it with people. Thanks so much for listening. Please, if you like the show, leave a thumbs up, leave a positive comment, tell your friends, share it with your nan, you know, get a tattoo on your forehead. There's going to be some t-shirts released really soon. T-shirts, yeah, that's right, I could speak English. They're coming out very soon. Stickers, hats on the way. Fuck yeah.
Podcast initiation complete. Warning, this episode may cause brain damage. Hypermanic Noise.
How you going, man?
It's going good. It's going good. Like I said, we're just doing a bunch of press today for Australia. We're excited to come out there again and rock out. We've been there in a couple years, I think, right? I mean, I think we're doing the, you know, Sydney, Melbourne, all the places we usually hit over there.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, you guys have been out quite a lot in the last 3 or 4 years, which is great. This time you're bringing this massive double show. What's the deal there?
Well, what we're doing is we're doing a double show. What we're doing is we're gonna just bring some of the influences that we had as we were growing up and what made our music today. Basically, play some of the bands that. Are you there?
Sorry, I lost you.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's okay. There was another call that was coming in. I'm sorry about that. We're excited to do that. We're bringing out, you know, playing other guys' songs, other band songs that we loved growing up, and we thought we'd do a set of that, and then we do a set of, you know, our own material. So we're excited to come out and do that. We're just making a set list for it right now.
Is that set list something that's going to change across the tour?
Yeah, we're going to mix it up every time. We want to make it different in case people, you know, go to, you know, more than one show. We want to make the sets different every time. So we're excited to do that.
Fantastic. I saw you guys play at Soundwave in Melbourne a few years ago, and I'm actually a stand-up comedian, and I found watching you guys was fucking impressive, because as a comedian and also a metal fan, I was kind of in two frames of mind about it, because it was equally as much as a comedy show as a metal show. How much of that is just you guys off the cuff, or it's just really impressive?
Because I appreciate it very much. All that's off the cuff. What we like to do is not going to anything, you know, under the hoof or anything like that. We don't do that. We just, you know, we listen and we try to give it the best show we possibly can and make the crowd part of it as well. So that's something that that's why, you know, even for us, it's a different show every night. So, you know, we just go out there and have fun. And I think when the crowd sees that, you know, they have a good time too. And I'm glad you appreciate that. And again, thanks for the kind words.
Yeah, no problems, man. It's also nice to go to a show and see a bunch of tits out, so can't complain.
Exactly that. Exactly that. We love seeing.
What is it that keeps you guys so inspired after all these years? What keeps the fire burning?
Well, you know, doing more records, putting this last record out. There's the songs are they're doing new material. It's so fun for us. I mean, and again, it's just inspiring to, you know, to be, you know, doing jamming tunes with your buddies and bringing heavy metal back. And again, like you said, titties are also inspiring, don't you think? I mean, that's always, that'll always keep you going.
I've never looked at a glory hole the same since I heard your song.
good. That's fantastic.
Yeah. How hard is it to be in a band when you know that you're better looking than most of the ladies in the audience?
Thank you very much. I appreciate that very much. Yeah, well, it is. The older I get, the harder it is to keep these looks up. So that's why, you know, when we had time off our last tour, just going in and getting plastic surgery and getting my hair highlighted and getting some new wardrobe and things like that. So I appreciate that very much. Like, that's great. But that's not all. It's not all true either. We've had, luckily had some beautiful, beautiful women, especially in Australia. I can't wait to get back over there. And we really can't, and just because we like to go down under every time we're in Australia. So we're excited to go out there, and no pun intended. Yeah, and all the clubs afterwards, and we're just excited to go out there. So that, you know, that's inspiring too. You know, traveling all over the world and being able to just put your penis in girls' vaginas all the time. It's just a blast.
Fantastic. Well, we haven't had much rain, so I know it's very dry out here, and I'm assuming the girls are quite dry as well. So
I see. I'm excited.
Yeah, good. Yeah, that's good. I'm sure the ladies are excited too, and I'm sure there's a few gentlemen in the audience that are also equally as excited.
That's great.
So
fantastic.
One thing that I find that bands always seem to do is a fucking Christmas album. And it always shits me, but I think you guys could make it work because, you know, like, O Come All Ye Faithful, you know, My Come Is A Faceful, something like that.
Or, there you go.
Yeah, like, you could have Rob Halford on one and have the 12 Gays of Christmas, you know.
There we go. Exactly. We could do something like that as well. We have a couple, you know, we have a couple of Christmas songs. So Sexy Santa is one, and we have a couple of Christmas songs that we do, you know, during the holiday season. So, but yeah, that's some good ideas there for sure for Christmas songs. That's fantastic. And an album, great.
Yeah, I just thought that the Christmas album idea is fucking terrible, but I think you guys are so ridiculous that it would actually work.
we spice it up a little bit. Sure.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So,
yes, exactly.
Awesome, man. So the tour kicks off on the 15th of next month, I think, in Melbourne.
Yes.
Yeah. How are you looking forward to the flight, being trapped on the plane?
The flight doesn't bother me. We're used to long flights and things like that. You know, we've been flying. We just got back from Europe, you know, a month ago, so we're still coming down from that. But at the same time, we're not going to be over there that long. So, you know, basically you're just going to get hammered, take a bunch of drugs and pass out. That's how I look forward to the flight. That's how I get there. Exactly.
That's how we prepare for the show too. So I think we're all on the same page.
Exactly that. Exactly. That's what it's all about. That's bringing heavy metal back. That's how you do it.
Thanks so much for chatting to me, man. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the Aussie fans before you go?
Other than we are so excited to go back over there. It's been such a long time. You know, I've always said that I think the Australians have the most beautiful women in the world, so I'm excited to go back over there and again, go down under.
Well, we look forward to seeing you here soon. Thanks so much for talking.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, cheers, man, and I hope you get inside all of our good-looking ladies.
I will definitely do that. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Cheers, man. Cheers. Bye.
Thank you.
All right, Mick, we've just learnt. What have you learnt? Death to Orbit Metal?
Oh, I just love them. They are awesome. They are just the best thing.
50 Cent's a fag, so is Kanye West, shooting hot sperm on each other's chests.
Yeah, no, that's just a masterpiece, isn't it? It's biblical proportions, you know, and the hair, right?
Well, a lot of the hair's not real. But
still, if you owned a salon and you saw them coming up the road, you would lose your shit, right?
Yeah.
Here comes $1,000.
Yeah, true. If you were a cocaine dealer, I think you'd love seeing them walk up the road too.
Yeah, I reckon all the entourage more so, right?
I think they like it.
Yeah.
They party pretty hard.
They couldn't be that bent without it, eh?
No. So I got you on the show to talk about rock and roll.
Yeah. I'm predominantly 70s.
Yeah.
That was my thing. Yeah, being a 70s kid.
Yeah, what sort of shit?
Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin, you know.
Yeah.
Black Sabbath.
Good.
Yeah, just a solid performers. Yeah, Black Sabbath would be probably the top band.
Did you see them?
Yeah, I saw them about 4 years ago here in Perth. Yeah, the second last tour.
Yeah, me too. That was amazing.
The same night, yeah.
Yeah, the This Is 13 tour.
I deliberately wore a white t-shirt to that concert.
Yeah. Anytime I go to a pop concert,
for
like rock set, I always wear my most disgusting shirt.
With a headband?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, at rock set, I know every one of their songs.
No way.
And I
way.
Was the only straight guy singing.
That is dedicated.
Yeah.
Or fucked up, one of the two.
Well, whatever, man. They fucking rule, but I was surrounded by middle-aged women.
Do you still like them?
Yeah,
though?
Fuck yeah.
Is that right? Do you get down to them when you listen to them?
I was listening to it last night.
Does your body wobble?
Dude. Yeah,
is that right?
I
so you really connect to that?
Yeah, fuck it. Dude, Roxette are one of the most underrated bands on earth.
They're no way. I'm surprised, right? Because you do not look like a Roxette fan.
Well, Michael Jackson's my other favorite.
Is that right?
So if I had to give you a top five, it'd be Roxette, Michael, not in no particular order, Roxette, Michael Jackson, Judas Priest, Nevermore, right. And...
That's a good mix.
Rush, probably.
Wow.
Yeah, very varied. Like, I've got a Cannibal Corpse CD and then a Kelly Clarkson CD in the same rack, you know?
Wow. But only a couple of Kelly's tracks, though.
I've only got one album. And yeah. To be fair, haven't listened to it what much.
She has got a good voice, though.
She has, yeah. She's got a couple of really good songs on there.
Yeah.
Didn't
yeah.
write them, but whatever.
They're all stars in their own right.
Mm.
I wish I could sing half as good as them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I could survive as many drugs as Ozzy survived.
He's a phenomenon, right? That body is taking more hits than Google, and yet he's still... Like, they split up. Him and his missus split up because he'd been caught cheating.
They're back together now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Oh. Mm. Well, that's love for you.
That's her being his manager and not wanting to lose out on income, I think.
Oh,
my favorite Ozzy Osbourne story is when they're in Japan. And not. I think this is why they fired him from the band. They had two shows at the Budokan or somewhere.
Nice.
And... after the first show, Ozzy went on a rampage.
What?
And then they never found him.
Oh.
And then the second show turns up. No one knows where he is. Wow. He ended up in a random hotel room with all these chicks just fucking him and then slept through the second show.
Oh, my God. Oh, man, that's a rock and roll lifestyle, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, right. Imagine being the manager. You'd be so dark on him, though, right?
Well, I think at that point, his missus was the manager. Or it might have been her dad, because her dad was his manager at one point.
Man, if I was the manager, I'd be punching chunks off him that a dog couldn't swallow. Mm. You know?
Well, it worked, and then they got Ronnie James Dio.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So,
yeah, yeah.
I saw them with him, too.
What did you think of when he took over?
I'm a bit weird. I prefer Ozzy Osbourne's solo career. I prefer I kind of have a bit of a soft spot for the Dio era Sabbath even more so than other Sabbath.
Yeah, right.
And I tend to like the weird Sabbath albums the most.
Yeah.
It's like they had one with Tony Martin singing. They had one with Glenn Hughes from Deep Purple.
Yep.
Singing for him, which was amazing.
Right.
And there's also an album called Iommi Hughes or Hughes Iommi called Fused.
Right.
So it's Glenn Hughes, the singer for Deep Purple, and Tony Iommi from Black Sabbath doing an album together.
Nice combo.
Fucking, it's one of the best things you'll ever hear.
Yeah, right.
Glenn Hughes, you know, former, alcoholic. So really, really, I don't know, just heartfelt.
There's
lyrics.
A message there, right?
Yeah, well, it's just, it actually means something.
You can be an alcoholic and put an album out.
It helps in a lot of ways.
I've never heard of that combination, so I've never been a big fan of Dio. I'm the opposite to you. I'm traditionalist. The first album, Paranoid, and that's really been the king album since. So, I was a bit, you know, Dio's good, but I was a bit water. I didn't really want to, I wasn't really up for him,
Fair enough. I'm lucky to have seen Sabbath, Ozzy solo, and Sabbath with Dio.
So he was going really good when they had Richie, right?
With Richie Blackmore.
Yeah.
In Rainbow.
When you joined Ozzy. Like when Richie joined Ozzy, like they were going great until he died in that plane crash, right?
Oh, that was Randy Rhoads.
Oh, Randy, Richie.
Richie Blackmore was the guitarist for Rainbow.
Randy, I'm thinking of Randy.
Yeah. No, he was ahead of his time, that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He pulled off the polka dots.
Incredible.
Not many people
player.
Did that. You got to be good to pull off polka dots on your guitar.
Mate, he is off.
Yeah, he was sick.
Yeah.
And then, but one of Ozzy's biggest songs, Bark at the Moon.
Yep.
Was Jake E. Lee was the guitarist. No one knows who he is.
No, never.
He wrote on two of his albums. They're really good shit. Bark at the Moon, everybody knows it. No one realizes that he was the guy that wrote it.
Yeah, right.
Mm. And then he released a new song like a couple of years ago, all these years later, and it basically sounds like Bark at the Moon.
Has he been in any other bands?
Nah.
Right.
I don't know. I think he was just a crackhead or
something. Might be just a writer or something. Yeah.
No, I think substance abuse kind of.
Yep.
Took him off the map, as is the tradition.
Everyone's got to have a hobby, mate. All right.
Yeah, it's a good hobby.
Yeah.
Especially when it's free. I always think that, like, if I was touring and I had a rider,
yep.
I'd definitely be an alcoholic.
Yeah, right.
Because, you know, all these bands, they turn up, they get a bottle of Jack, bottle of this, bottle of that, mixer, food.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be tempting, hey. When you're young, you don't really have as much respect for your body. So, yeah. Just, you just go hard, have a good time.
I'm not talking about people that are young. This is all the bands that are like pushing 50, pushing 60. They still get their bottle of Jack every night.
Well, they're on their way out, aren't they? Yeah. Right? You might as well keep going.
Well, like Lemmy was touring up until a month or something before he died.
Wow.
You know, just...
hardcore.
Yeah, knew he had cancer, knew he was dying. He's just like, fuck it, let's roll.
But what do? You know, you can't stop. You just got to do it to the end, you know?
Yeah, I'm one of those people, like, I'm sure you're probably the same way where, like, if I found out I was going to die next week, I'd be sad, but I'd be all right. You know, like I don't want to die, but I've put shit in my life in perspective enough to know that my life wasn't wasted.
I think it's easier to say it without the diagnosis. I reckon once you got the diagnosis, you would just lose your shit. You'd probably just cry for a week and then try and decide what you're going to do.
You know?
Like it would probably be a good way to go is that you get some time to sort things out other than a car accident, but. It'd be nice to have that time, but then you don't want to have the experience of dying slowly, right? So that's why you need euthanasia. You know? Maybe the band could just sing about euthanasia. You know?
What that's called death metal.
Yeah.
Murder, euthanasia, cannibalism.
Just something light, family.
Dying Fetus, they're good.
Yeah.
They have a song called From Womb to Waste. It's all about getting aborted.
Oh.
About throwing it in the trash and shit.
No.
It's awesome.
That's sick.
Yeah, Tish loves that song.
Does she really?
Yeah.
No way. We went
and saw them.
It makes me feel sick just thinking about it.
The band's called Dying Fetus. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They've got a song called Kill Your Mother, Rape Your Dog.
Oh, for fuck's sake. These are people clearly with a personality disorder, right?
No, they just...
Oh, do you reckon it's a comedy thing like this with this band?
It's like horror movies. Like they just try to make the most disgusting, fucked up lyrics they can.
They're just trying to be the best at...
Like, I'll put it this way. Cannibal Corpse came to Perth and they have songs like Necrosadistic Warning, Necropedophile, Eaten Back to Life, Butchered at Birth, Hammer Smashed Face. I think the first four albums were banned in Germany.
No shit. In Germany?
Yeah, of all places.
Where they fuck horses.
Yeah. You can fuck horses. You just can't listen to Cannibal Corpse while you're doing
it. And that's just at the polo, right?
But they came to Perth and Soundworks, who are friends of mine, brought them out. And these people protested it.
No way.
Were putting in, trying to get a petition to have the concert banned and all this stuff. And the ticket sales shot up by hundreds
in the days following. Thank you for that.
Yeah, so the promoters framed that thing in the paper and they were like, thank you, that was fantastic.
I know, because any sort of notoriety is good notoriety.
No, that would have made them a couple of grand, just the fact that someone had a bitch about it.
Good for them. Probably some church group.
It was,
The one that you are with, I don't know.
Yeah, one I was with.
The one that you bent down?
No, we were too busy protesting gay people's funerals, you know. Oh, jeez. Nah, those people never got that bad, but...
Right.
They interviewed them once about gay marriage and the guy was like, hey, look, that's not what we believe in. It's not what the Bible's about. But we don't hate anybody. Just don't come near me.
The people that I did a gig to earlier this morning were like that.
Yeah, I bet they were.
Hardcore, hardliners, right? Yeah. Ultra conservative.
These are like Vietnam vets and shit though, right?
Yeah, no, it was more of a boys club than veterans. So it was just a venue at the RSL. But they were hardliners, but they were real racist. In fact, when I walked in, the act was a guy acting to be an Indian bloke and a bloke dressed as a woman in sequin dress, and they're doing that song. I don't know what it's called, but it goes, and it makes my heart go boom, boom, boom. It was an old 50s song.
Yeah.
It was like I time warped back to 1969. Right?
Who was the next act? King Billy Coke Bottle?
Oh, no. It was a guy who was a... Johnny Cash impersonator.
Okay.
And he was a young guy and he was really, really good.
Yeah, cool.
And then Jeff went up and bombed like Germany 1944. Like it was a full saturation bombing.
Oh, wow.
It was like nothing was coming out of the crowd. And and so he finally did get one joke at the end so he can get the crowd warmed up for when I went on. But it was a disaster. But it was tough. But
shit.
But it happens.
I love it when so this is what happened in Queensland. Everybody was doing so bad in front of me that I could have gone up and just told one joke and done better.
Yep.
There's the people doing bad where you've got to work to build the energy up, and then there's people that are that bad that they're like, oh, fuck, give me anything but this.
That's why you got to have a good MC, right?
Yeah.
You got to have a good MC. We had no MC.
That's really good when they did that.
Actually, the MC was one of the cooks who was wearing a sequined, what do you call them? Apron.
Yeah.
And he was really cranky. Like, he'd been up since 5 doing all the cooking. You know, and he probably spat in a lot of the food.
Do you reckon those people would be into rock and roll, or would Elvis be too upbeat for them?
They love Johnny Cash.
So that's about as...
Yeah, they're all ultra-conservative old guys. Like,
sounds like my granddad.
You know, I did an inappropriate joke, and I got a bit weird about it, and I said, you pack of fucking weak cunts. Call yourself men.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you know, they just drink nonstop. They started at 8. And I think it's like some of those old guys, him and their wives hate them so much, they go get out of the house, and so they just drink themselves into oblivion all day.
Yeah.
Don't you dare come home sober, all right?
Just don't come home.
If you don't mind, please have a car accident away, eh? I bumped up the life insurance.
my granddad was driving my cousin to hockey one morning at like 5:30 in the morning, and some guy was running down the side of the road, and my cousin said, granddad just kept looking at the road, wound down the window. Then when he passed the guy, he just goes, go back to bed, you fuckhead. And then winds the window back up and keeps driving. Says nothing. Like, people poison toads over there. It's like a sport.
It's good to give advice, though.
Yeah. And then granddad, he used to poison frogs. Oh, they get the fucking drain pipes. They keep me up all night. Oh, fuck it. Kill the frogs.
Old bastard. Yeah. Was he in the army?
No, he worked at the meatworks during the army.
Same place.
Because it was one of the major meat production places in the country.
Yeah.
But most of his brothers went.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Meatworks.
My great-grandfather got syphilis in the war.
It's pretty common.
Yeah, and my nan was like, no, I don't believe it. Because she was thinking it was... But honestly, though, in those conditions, he had diphtheria, shot, shrapnel wound.
Yep.
Like... People were getting, like, you would have got syphilis just from being around the dead bodies in the trenches and shit.
No, you would have got the syphilis from the prostitutes from the town you went to, right? That's how they got it, right? And so a lot of the troops had
Don't
to stay.
Don't disparage my great grandfather. How dare you?
That's legit, right? Some of them had to stay behind because they were still in hospital after. And then Mrs. going, hang on, the war's ended. How come he's not home? Oh, he's in hospital. He's not well. Has he been shot? No. What's going on?
I want to know is, like, he got shot. He got an explosion, and it went through his face and through his hip or something. And then he went back, and then he got shot again. Then he got diphtheria. Then he went back. So I want to know, where is he finding the time to fuck these bitches? Like, crawling out of the trench with
shit pissing out of him. They're out there. My great-grandfather had a girlfriend in France in the First World War.
Yeah.
Called Suzanne, and that's what my mum's name is. So his son's daughter is his dad's
mistress.
Yeah. What name? So
by
the French connection.
By just chance or?
Just wanted to do it, I guess. Probably just recommended it. Because he sort of said what he said went in those days. Like, if they had the father.
Burn the house down. You know what, man?
Yep.
You can't really fucking.
Mate, if you're about to die. You'd be rooting everything, dick, right? Yeah. If you go, like, syphilis, who cares? I'm probably going to get shot.
I'd suck your dick just to try it.
You're going
to
die in an hour. Huh.
Get suck sucking, a dick. Just to
start licking your lips.
You know, you don't want to die. You know, maybe I'd swallow that load and go, oh, man, you know what? I really like that. I'm glad that I topped my life off.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the best way to top it off. I think we can do better than that, right? I think we can pick a better activity than... choking on someone's splurry.
Well, you know, the thing I love about going back to the music thing, Judas Priest, no one knew Rob Halford was gay.
No way. Like, I didn't know. Is that serious?
What? You didn't know he was gay?
No, I didn't know that. No, didn't know. No.
How?
Because
how did you not know?
I like to listen to Judas Priest. I don't get into Judas Priest. Like, okay. I don't know where they live and shit. I just like to listen to the music.
Well, yeah, he's as gay as Christmas. I mean, he came out in 1998 and everyone was surprised. And then you look at him. He's been wearing leather riding crops and with the hand out. And
yeah. But the thing is, I have gay friends who can be like just men. They're more manly than me, right? Mm. And which probably wouldn't be hard. But and then we have...
Do they get on stage in leather arseless chaps though?
I reckon they would if... They don't tell me that they do, but I reckon they probably would, right? Because I've got friends who get into BDSM and I'd think, oh, well, they'll be damned, you know? Yeah. So...
Well, in the 80s, they had a song called Eat Me Alive.
Right.
Like, your wild vibrations got me shooting at the hip and then I let it rip and eat me alive. It's all about getting your dick sucked.
Oh.
And everyone in the 80s is like, yeah, fuck yeah, it's all about getting head. And let's then in 1998, they went, oh, that's about a dude sucking your dick.
It was about that AIDS commercial, you know, the bowling end, right?
Yeah, at the end it says, warning, do not do this with Freddie Mercury or Magic Johnson.
You're going straight to hell, motherfucker.
Yeah, with AIDS.
Yeah.
Wonder if you take your AIDS to hell.
Oh, you got to. I reckon the whole place is probably full of AIDS in heaven, right? Yeah. Because you're allowed to have sex up there.
In heaven.
Although they wouldn't have STDs, I suppose. I don't know.
Who knows?
Wouldn't matter.
Maybe they do have STDs, but you just have to pray for them to be cured.
Look, mate, I think so many people have it, doesn't matter.
Yeah, true. All right, man. Well, we talked about rock and roll for a little bit. Talked about syphilis.
Yeah.
I think we covered all the important issues.
Yeah. I love old rock. Like, you just can't beat, like, even Chisel, you know.
Yeah. Alice Cooper, Billy Thorpe.
Oh, Aztecs.
I saw him open for Alice Cooper, man.
How much can he yell or could be yell?
He was
yell.
Brilliant.
Man, he brilliant. Was just crazy good.
Mm.
Yeah.
He's got that Children of the Sun album.
Yeah.
Fuck, when was that?
CC Rider.
73.
CC Rider is my favorite of Billy's.
Yeah. I don't know that one.
CC Rider. Yeah, I don't know.
That's good.
About it.
Good singing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to end this before you sing again.
Karaoke.
Fuck. All right. Let's end it.
See
shit. He's starting.